Coming up, the silent Amida prayer. What universal truths do we unlock from taking those momentous three steps forward? Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you enjoy a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. Do people who know you ask for book recommendations? What's on your reading table? Well, I ask people that question a lot, and it's a regular feature on this podcast as well. And in just a little while, we will check in with this week's special reading table contributor, best-selling author and co-founder of the Kobe Mandel Foundation, Sherry Mandel. She was a special guest of mine back in May talking about her new work. But first, I'm delighted to welcome my feature guest on this edition of 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Menachem Tenenbaum, the author of a wonderful brand new sefer called Three Steps Forward, Unlocking the Shmona Esrei and Our Connection with Hashem. And if his name sounds familiar, that's because he was last episode's reading table contributor. Rabbi Tenenbaum is the Associate Regional Director of Central East NCSY and the City Director of Cleveland NCSY. Rabbi Tenenbaum and his wife Ilana have been hosting teens in their home for nearly a decade. And when you read Three Steps Forward, you'll understand how some of Ilana's own life experiences dovetail wonderfully with some of the core concepts that Rabbi Tenenbaum brings to light in Three Steps Forward. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Menachem Tenenbaum.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And I'll tell you, at first, I was excited to read your sefer just by looking at the cover and pondering the title. Because when we reach that point in our tefillos, our prayers, that is the Tefillat Shmona Esrei, known as the Amida prayer, we take three steps forward. And in the blink of an eye, we're in our own most intimate meeting with our Creator. And while words can't do justice to describe the wonderful cover of your book, it does depict a person on a dark, narrow, ancient stone path on the threshold of a light-filled destination. I'm just wondering if you could tell us a bit about that zone, that destination, that potential of the opportunities that every Jew has within the Shmona Esrei.
Yeah, excellent. So the picture depicted over there is really the experience that I want for myself and I want for everybody to have, because it's very personal, but it's very bright. Even if I'm coming from what seems to be a dark place behind me, I'm going to somewhere that is very light. And I love the question so much about the zone of tefillah, about where I'm coming to, because oftentimes, and I speak to teens a lot for sure, and they have this notion of tefillah as something like a casino. Not that they've ever been, but a casino, you put some money into a slot machine and you hope that something comes out. And that's not really what tefillah is, although there's an element of getting that. But really what we're trying to do is trying to become, we're trying to develop and discover ourselves. And when we allow ourselves the time in tefillah, whether in Shmona Esrei or not in Shmona Esrei, and just a personal tefillah, it's not just to connect to Hashem, it's not just to ask of Hashem, but it's also to uncover the layers that are beneath our own personal surface.
Well, it's an interesting allegory of the slot machine in that, you know, when you press down the arm of the slot machine, you're hoping you'll get a jackpot, right? So sometimes people do. I'm guilty of this also, of going into the Tefillah Shmona Esrei and wanting my wishes granted. So I appreciate your response there. Also, your book is based on the teachings of Rav Yonasan Abishas, a prominent rabbi who published Sforim on Halacha and Makshava, that's Jewish law and Jewish thought. And before we get into some of his teachings, which inform lessons in your own sefer, tell us a bit about your familial connection to the Rav.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I had an uncle who loved genealogy, and he sent me through my mother and her father all the way back to the 1700s. And I noticed the name Abishitz there on my lineage. And it wasn't until COVID that I discovered that the Abishitz that I saw in my lineage is the nephew of Rav Yonasan Abishitz. So Rav Yonasan Abishitz had two brothers. One of his brothers is Aaron, and Aaron happens to be my eighth generation grandfather. So once I discovered that, and during COVID, I picked it up and started reading it and studying his works a lot more, that's when I really got connected, not just because he happens to be in my family tree, but because I connected so deeply to his writings.
And he writes a lot, a great deal about this tefillah, about tefillah in general. And so the way that I understand it as I read your book is that it's a companion piece, that you have a lot of commentary and personal stories that go hand in hand with the tefillahs of Tefillat Shemoneh Esrei. And then Rav Eberschitz also, like, it's a companion piece to his work.
Correct. What I did is I took his ideals, and now I got to tell you, part of the way I learn is that I underline. I love underlining. And what happened was when I got through this piece, because it's really a six-hour drasha that he gave. It's a six-hour lecture. And this is just a part of that lecture is written into his book called The Aros Devash. So as I was reading it and studying it, I was underlining line after line after line. And I got to the point where I remember turning to my wife and saying, like, I need to share this with the world. This is too good. I have discovered since then, it's been 3 years on this journey, that I'm not the first person to discover this, but I'm very excited to share it in my own personal way. And I think, I hope that everyone else discovers it in their personal way, because that really is what it's about, is to connect to Shemoneh Esrei, to connect to these ideas, but in a very personal way.
Right. And I think that's what sets it apart from other svarim of this nature, because certainly a lot has been written about this Tefillat Shemoneh Esrei. There are entire series about it and books, but it is very personal. And also I want to talk about the structure of your book, because again, this is how it's set apart from other works about Tefillat Shemoneh Esrei. I think that no matter what our level of familiarity or frequency of davening Tefillat Shemoneh Esrei, that the readers will appreciate how you organize the book so clearly and clearly defined sections, whether it's preparing for this all-important tefillah and each tefillah in its own right. And one of the features, which is a big plus, especially in these modern times, are each chapter's unique takeaway or thoughts that you call in other words. You know what I mean? It makes the ideas that you're giving over such incredible relevancy. Let's give an example. If you would read for us the, in other words, idea from chapter 22 that corresponds to the Shema Kolenu prayer that Hashem, we want him to listen to our prayers.
Sure. So it says, Hashem, I have a whole list of things that I would like to accomplish. Please help me to successfully get through the day. Knowing that you will assist me will give me an added push to try and fulfill your will to the greatest extent possible.
And one of the things I like about these thoughts, and again, throughout your Sefer, the sections of in other words, and the takeaways, is that this is how we can connect ourselves to these tefillahs, that it is not just words and that it's not just rote. Is that right? Like, do you probably get, since you work with young people, maybe that sort of comment on, oh, wow, the prayers, I'm praying out of a siddur that other people wrote the words, even if it is the men of the great assembly, right?
Right. And I would just add, it's not just the words that we're saying, because oftentimes, I've been learning with teens for over a dozen years, and oftentimes we'll read Sfarim together, the Misleis Sharim, the Chumash, or you know, more modern works. And after reading a paragraph or a page, I say, you know, what did you just say? What did we just read? And sometimes even the reader says, I have no idea. Like I missed that. And that's why, you know, really the takeaway is that you could pause and reflect. And I'm hoping that the reader could discover that really the Shemoneh Esrei is like that. After and before I request something or I praise Hashem, I should be thinking about that. And I talk about that in the book, the concept of the takeaway from tefillah, which I don't see as a common practice today, to reflect after I daven, after I went through that amazing experience, hopefully an amazing experience. But now what's the takeaway? What am I going to use in that? I just experienced something. What am I going to use today that I experienced through the tefillah?
Right. No, it's beautiful. Well put. And in fact, readers will notice that you write very nicely about the preparation, our mindset in preparing. And as you just said, what's on our mind, what's our mindset after? So it's not just this thing, we step forward, step back, and then we're done. Then we get on with our day. Just, I like how you gently advise us to take a moment and just think for a moment when you're going in and out of your prayer. Another aspect of this Sefer that sets it apart from just instructions on how to daven with concentration, each of the tefillahs, is that you incorporate your own life experiences, as we've been saying, and your own life experiences, they pertain to what we all pray for. And there's an example that you write about in Birkas Hashanim, the blessing of the years. That's when we pray for our needs and sustenance. And you exemplify it with a recollection of you and your wife as trip leaders of teenage girls from Colorado at Universal Studios. So tell us what happened on that trip when you discovered why some of these girls weren't happy campers. And if you could, Rabbi, just explain how your own memories, which might seem random and trivial, can sometimes enhance our own tefillas.
Excellent. Okay, so that's one of our most fond memories is that trip to California. And we flew out of Denver in the morning and we got into California. So with the time zone, it's still early in the morning, but the girls, you know, clearly didn't sleep well because they had to get up early for a flight, and they didn't eat well because we didn't feed them a proper breakfast. And we drove into the parking lot of Universal Studios. And I just remember all the girls like complaining. So my wife and I look at each other like, what's going on over here? And then we realized is that they're tired and they haven't been fed properly. So after we said, that's it, we're parking right here in the parking lot. We sat down, we ate. And then we were able to go and enjoy the day. And that story in and of itself helps us understand, why am I asking Hashem for a livelihood? Why am I asking Hashem for sustenance? What am I going to do with that? Because I have to realize that I can't get through my day if I'm not properly fed. It's possible, but it's not very easy. So when we ask for that, it's sort of like a baseline of, I need to take care of myself, my basic needs, in order that I can get to my my higher needs. But I want to step back for a sec and answer this question a little differently. You asked, why am I using my personal stories? And I'll answer this actually with a story. I was in shul one morning, and the chazan, he was leading davening, and he turned around to us and he said, there's a young girl in the community and they just discovered a tumor. Let's say some tehillim for her. So we read some tehillim, and I said it, to be honest, it wasn't like any other time that I read tehillim. But later in the day, I found out from my daughters who are in school with this young girl, who the girl was, and I realized that it had been the guy who said we should say Tehillim, it was his niece. So the next morning, he came into shul and he said a similar thing. He said, today that little girl is having surgery. And I thought to myself, it's his niece, but it could very well be mine. Please God, it shouldn't be. But it became so much more personal. So when I davened, that Tehillim, that chapter of Tehillim that I said that day, was totally different than the day before. It was so much more meaningful. So much to me, it really came from my heart. That's why I try to utilize stories to connect to tefillah, because that's what makes it real. And I hope the reader, and I hope that everyone who comes to tefillah utilizes their own personal stories and experiences to connect to it so much deeper. And I'll add just one more thing. You know, a young couple gets married, and of course they say, I love you. And those are three beautiful words they say to each other. But then it's their 10th anniversary, and they're still saying the same three words. But the hope is that through the experiences and the growth in their marriage, the words, I love you, take on completely new meanings. Davening's not different. It's a relationship between us and Hashem. So our experiences and our stories, which life is one long story, just many different chapters, hopefully those stories and those experiences enhance the meaning in the relationship between us and Hashem.
Oh, it's so nice. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for those insights. And if you could tell us, how has your own outlook about Tefillat Shemona Esrei changed since learning more about the teachings of Rav Yonasan Eberschitz?
Sure. So it used to be there was a concept that either you enjoy tefillah or you don't enjoy tefillah, you're ready for tefillah, you're not ready for tefillah. I discovered something new. I anticipate the next Shemona Esrei. It sounds almost funny to say, I've never heard anyone else say it, but I really anticipate and look forward to that next experience that where I'm going to be able to stand in front of Hashem. Now, don't get me wrong, please. That doesn't mean every tefillah and not even most of my tefillahs are perfect or even close to perfect. But I enjoy the experience so much because of his teachings, because of the way he clarifies what we're saying and why we're saying it, that I really look forward to the experience. And I'll tell you, I struggle with one thing. Sometimes I'll daven mincha and then Maariv followed right afterwards. And it's only a few minutes apart from one Shemona Esrei to the next. And through the ideas of Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz, I have to really reflect deeper. And he helps me in doing that, to really reflect deeper about what's the difference between the Shemona Esrei I'm having now at mincha and the Shemona Esrei I'm going to have in a few minutes at Maariv. And I think all of us could have that experience. We say the same words every day. How could this tefillah be more meaningful to me? How could I connect to Hashem more deeply with a greater passion in our relationship through the Shemona Esrei?
That's so nice. Definitely something to aspire to. And I appreciate that even all the work that you've done on this Sefer and thinking about Tefillat Shemona Esrei, that you also hinted to us that it's not always going to be perfect. It's just, it's not a 100% success, complete concentration kavana. And we go forward and we do connect as best we can.
Definitely, for sure.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Menachem Tenenbaum, for speaking with me today about Three Steps Forward.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And for more information about Rabbi Tenenbaum's new book, Three Steps Forward, or to invite him to speak at your community or organization, send him an email at rabbit@ncsy.org. That's rabbit, as in Tenenbaum, @ncsy.org.
And now it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's brightest Jewish stars.
And the star of this week's What's on My Reading Table segment is Sherry Mandel, the award-winning writer of several books, including her spiritual memoir, The Blessing of a Broken Heart, which won a National Jewish Book Award in 2004. She was my special guest on 613 Books podcast back in May to discuss her most recent book, The Kabbalah of Writing, which draws inspiration from the Kabbalah to develop our own writing and personal growth as well. And for the past 20 years, she and her husband have directed the Kobi Mandel Foundation in Israel, whose flagship program is Camp Kobi. That's a therapeutic sleepaway camp for bereaved children. Well, Sherry, as busy as you are, I'd love to know what book is on your reading table.
Hi, Heather. The book that's on my reading table is called The Kitchen Congregation, A Daughter's Story of Wives and Women Friends by Nora Seaton. And it's a memoir that begins with a description of Nora's mother in the kitchen. And she loved to cook by herself, but she was very invested in cooking, and everything had to be good quality. Also, she was a writer. So she was a whiz in the kitchen, but she taught her daughters also to have a life of their own. And I love something that Nora says in the book. She says, a recipe presents a hypothesis. You have to test it. And I think that's so beautiful because most of us think of recipes as a kind of formula. But to think of it as a hypothesis that requires testing really opens up the whole notion of a recipe. So she gives a recipe for a lemon chess pie. Most of them are kind of homely kind of recipes, but they are what makes a home. And the mother dies at the age of 56 of cancer, but the daughter continues her mother's legacy of finding comfort in the kitchen. So Heather, that's what's on my reading table.
Thanks, Sherry. That sounds like a wonderful memoir of motherhood and memories. You can find links to this book and also the new books by Sherry Mandel and our featured guest, Rabbi Menachem Tenenbaum, as well as their contact information in the show notes. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean, Senior Producer and Director of Operations, Greg Cohen, Consulting Producer, Yiska Roth, Show Announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.